Hey family, King Caruso here, your Black History buff. Real quick, before the show starts, I just wanted to let you know that rather than running an ad for some random product, I've decided to bet on myself and use this spot to ask you to join me on Patreon. By joining, you'll help keep the podcast ad light, support the work that I do, and help me build a community away from the algorithms. And guess what? You can join for free. So if that sounds good, head over to Patreon and search for Black History Buff, or just check the link in the description. All right, I'm done. Now, let's jump into today's episode. Hey family, this is King Caruso, Black History Buff. Come, let's talk. Quick heads up, somewhere in today's episode, I'm dropping this week's keyword. The first person to comment it wins a shout out. So keep your ears open whilst we get into today's story. Now, I want you to picture something with me for a second. It's 2025, and the British Prime Minister stands up and says, the UK risks becoming an island of strangers because of immigration. If this sounds familiar to you, it's because those words, that almost exact phrase, carries the stench of 1968, the year Conservative MP Enoch Powell warned that white Britons were becoming strangers in their own country. Recently, British Prime Minister and Labour Party leader Keir Starmer said he deeply regrets using that phrase. But family, the damage was already done. Words like that don't disappear with an apology. They echo, they give permission, and history shows us exactly where this leads. Every day, I bring you stories on YouTube, my podcast, and social media that matter to our community. Today's story isn't just about a Prime Minister's poor choice of words. It's about how the same poisonous rhetoric keeps getting recycled generation after generation to make black and brown people feel like we don't belong. So here's what happened. Back in May 2025, Starmer gave a speech about immigration controls. During that speech, he said Britain risked becoming an island of strangers if migration wasn't controlled. The backlash was immediate. Prominent Black British MP Diane Abbott, we love you Auntie Di, called it fundamentally racist. People immediately drew parallels to Powell's notorious Rivers of Blood speech from 1968. Now, Starmer's saying he had no idea about the historical connection. He claims his speechwriters didn't know either. He says he was tired. Apparently, there'd been an arson attack on his family home that same morning, so he wasn't in the best headspace. But here's the thing that gets me. How do you become Prime Minister of Britain and not know about Enoch Powell? How does your entire team of speechwriters not catch that connection? They're either incredibly ignorant about British racial history, which is terrifying, or they knew exactly what they were doing, and honestly, I'm not sure which is worse. For those who want to learn more about the Rivers of Blood speech, I've linked to a video that I made on it in the description. But what we're going to do now is we're going to dive into some of this history. But before we do so, we need to talk about what this speech means right now, because this isn't happening in a vacuum. Starmer has been hemorrhaging support. His approval ratings are in the toilet, even amongst people who voted Labour just 10 months ago. His response, instead of changing the policies that are destroying working families, the winter fuel cuts, the disabled benefit cuts, he's decided to out Farage the UK far-right leader, Nigel Farage. And that's exactly what this speech was about. It was a calculated move to win over Farage's anti-immigration party Reform UK voters. The problem, it didn't work. Only 6% of Reform voters think Starmer's anti-immigration. Meanwhile, he's alienated his own base. Now, let me take you back to April 20th, 1968. Enoch Powell, then the Shadow Defence Secretary, the Conservatives' opposition defence spokesperson, stands up in Birmingham and delivers what becomes known as the Rivers of Blood speech. Powell warned that Britain was going to be torn apart by racial violence. He quoted a constituent who said she felt like a stranger in her own country because of Caribbean immigration. He predicted that the River Tiber would foam with much blood. The speech was designed to do exactly what it did: stoke fear, normalize racism, and make white Britons feel like they were under siege. Does this sound familiar now? But here's what most people don't know about that moment. Powell's speech wasn't just racist rhetoric. It came at a time when the government was already systematically betraying the very people he was demonizing. You see, the Windrush generation had been living a lie for decades. They'd been told they were British citizens, welcomed to help rebuild the mother country. But behind the scenes, British politicians had been plotting to shut the door on them from day one. When the Empire Windrush docked in 1948, the British political class was in panic mode. Remember, this was the Labour Party, Britain's centre-left party, the party that's supposed to represent working people. But 11 Labour MPs immediately wrote to post-war Labour Prime Minister Clement Attlee. These weren't fringe backbenchers. These were elected representatives warning about an influx of coloured people damaging Britain's social fabric. They were trying to stop the passengers on the Windrush from ever setting their feet on British soil. Government officials seriously considered diverting the ship to East Africa to force West Indian passengers into manual labour on a failing farming project. Think about that. Black British subjects who'd paid 6 months' wages for their passage were nearly shipped off to pick groundnuts in Tanzania without their consent, without any choice, just because the Labour MPs did not want them in the country. And this brings me to something I'm going to explain in detail later on in this episode, something called the spirit of the law. Just keep that phrase in your mind for now, because understanding it is key to seeing how politicians throw rocks and then hide their hand.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
From 1962 onwards, Britain passed a series of immigration laws that systematically stripped away the rights of black and brown Commonwealth citizens. The 1962 Commonwealth Immigrations Act. The 1968 Act introduced something called patriciality. Basically, you could only live in Britain freely if you had white British-born ancestry. We also had the 1971 Immigration Act. Each one took another bite. Each one made it harder and harder for people who look like us to call Britain home. But the real betrayal came in 1981. The British Nationality Act abolished birthright citizenship. To my American cousins, this is sounding familiar, right? Suddenly, being born in Britain didn't automatically make you British. It was citizenship by blood and not by birth. For the Windrush generation, this was devastating. Many had lived here for decades, believing they were British subjects. The government gave them 5 years to register as citizens, but official leaflets that went out told them, if you don't want to register, you don't have to. Your rights won't change. That was a lie, a dangerous one. Those who didn't register lost legal protection. And the same government that created this confusion later used it to justify detentions and deportations. The 1981 Act laid the legal foundation for what later became the Windrush scandal. And when I think about how this systemic deception destroyed so many lives, one word captures it perfectly: betrayal. Drop that word in the comments if you caught it. That's this week's keyword. Now, fast forward to 2018. Suddenly, the media was full of stories about grandparents being detained, nurses, builders, People who'd been in Britain for decades were being told they had no right to be there. The government called it an error, but it wasn't. It was the logical outcome of decades of hostile laws and racialized suspicion brought to a head by one person, former Conservative Prime Minister Theresa May. You see, May had been Home Secretary, the equivalent to the Secretary of Homeland Security, from 2010 to 2016. She then became Prime Minister. But during her time at the Home Office, she deliberately created what she called the Hostile Environment Policy. But this was more than just the policy. What she was doing was systematically laying the groundwork for the Windrush betrayal. The Home Office destroyed landing cards, the key documents that proved when people arrived in Britain. While the decision to destroy these documents was made in 2019, under the previous Labour government, the actual destruction happened in 2010 when May had just become Home Secretary. At the same time, her hostile environment policy was instructing landlords, doctors, banks, and employers to act as border agents, denying services unless people could prove their legal status. You see the trap? Destroy the evidence, then demand people produce the evidence we just destroyed. This wasn't accidental. This was designed to make life so difficult for undocumented people that they'd simply leave. But in reality, it ensnared thousands of legal residents, especially those from the Windrush generation, who suddenly found themselves unable to prove their right to the country they'd called home for decades. As I said before, I go into this in detail in another episode. People like Pauline Wilson, who arrived in the UK as a child in 1968, were suddenly classified as illegal. She was detained, nearly deported. Anthony Bryan spent time in detention despite living in Britain for over 50 years, all because they couldn't produce documents that Theresa May's Home Office had deliberately destroyed. And this is where we see what I mentioned earlier, the spirit of the law in action. And let me explain what I mean by that. There's something called the letter of the law, which is a phrase we hear fairly commonly. And it basically means the law applied as it is written down verbatim. And then there is the spirit of the law. And why this is important is because laws don't always scream their intentions. Sometimes they whisper them between the lines in how they're applied and in who they hurt. The spirit of the law is the hidden code, the real intent behind policies that sound fair but can often function to oppress. Policies crafted to look neutral but designed to exclude. Laws that whisper their racism rather than shout it out loud. Politicians throwing rocks and hiding their hands. So when Starmer says he regrets his words, I want to believe him, but I don't. Because regret without understanding is worthless, and understanding without action is just performance. This is exactly how the game is played. Politicians from both sides have used immigration as a weapon against black and brown communities for decades. They hide their intentions behind neutral sounding laws and policies, then throw rocks and hide their hands whenever they're called out. That's exactly what Starmer did. Make the speech, test the waters, then try to retract when the backlash came. Labour MPs wanted to divert the Windrush to Africa. A Labour government lied to the Windrush generation about their rights in 1981. This isn't about left versus right. This is about power protecting itself by making people like us the scapegoat. And until we understand how this game is played, how politicians use the spirit of the law to hide their true intentions, we're going to keep falling for the same tricks, generation after generation. Hey family, that's it. I'm done on this topic. I am going to do a deeper dive on this at some point, but if you want more stories like this, please check out Black History Buff on Patreon. That's where you can help to shape what I cover next. Okay, that's today's talk done. You've been listening to King Karus, the Black History Buff. Thank you for joining me today. Remember, history is made every day, and so is our understanding of how power really works. Until next time, stay blessed, family. Hey. You stay till the end credits, like only the smartest of people do. Listen, if you stuck around this long, you sound like the kind of person who might really enjoy my Patreon. Over there, you'll get access to hundreds of ad-free posts, early access to videos and recordings, bonus content, and whatever else I can think of to add value to your life. And you can join for free. Plus, if you join a paid tier, you'll get your name in the end credits of videos and that warm, fuzzy feeling of knowing that you're helping me make the show bigger and better. You can find me by searching for Black History Buff on Patreon or by using the link in the description. That's it. I'm done. Thank you so much for staying with me, and I hope you'll stick around for more episodes and share them with your friends. Till next time, stay blessed.